Just let me say Happy New Year to you as well, because I haven't had a chance to do that. Happy New Year. Good to see you all. Hope you've had a good time over the holidays. I'm just spending a few minutes. I'm not the main speaker today, but I just wanted to frame the series. Jill is going to come and share with us the Bible passage and the talk in a moment. There's a lighter up here. I don't need a lighter anymore. But I wanted to just share off the back, a little bit off the back of that letter that I sent. Hopefully you've all seen the letter that I sent to the church. If you didn't see the letter, it was on the WhatsApp group. If you're on the church app, Church Suite mailing group, you should get it. There are hard copies on the table at the back on the welcome table if you don't know what I'm talking about. It's quite an important letter because it talks about some of the things that we're thinking about and praying about and making decisions about at the moment as a leadership and as a board. That's kind of why we want to go into this series that we're doing. And this series that we're going after at the moment is called, what's it called, Jill? The One Thing, thank you. It's called The One Thing. I knew what it's about. It's about going after God and seeking Him first, The One Thing. And it's really important that before we make decisions, before we start quite rightly doing strategic decisions, we get ourselves right before God as a church. We seek Him. I was asked at a recent meeting I was in, what's your favorite memory of all time? It's a hard one, isn't it? I mean, if you were asked that, what's your favorite memory of all time? You know, there's the cliches, isn't there, of like, you know, when you walk down the aisle, of course, which was a really good memory, and when your children were when your children were born, of course, which are really good memories. I think one that is a recurring one increasingly is like when I sit, when family are gathered, or friends, good friends and family, excuse me, and I stand back and I've just watched them interact and be there and just think, this is a really good thing. I'm really grateful, God, for what you've given me, for the family you've given me, for the fact that I can see these people. And, you know, my kids have grown up in a family where they've had Christian uncles and aunties and cousins. And I remember, this happens every year, but I remember when they were younger, just once stepping back and standing at the door and just seeing these kids sitting around the table. And they were chatting like kids do, you know, how you'd expect, but then talking about Jesus and just encouraging each other. And I thought, that's actually one of my best memories. And I thought that over Christmas. Like, Christmas is so busy, isn't it? And it's great. It's great fun, but it's busy. And there's a danger you kind of get into the business and you don't step back and you don't take notes, you don't look. And I did that again this Christmas. I was forced to a little bit because I was a bit poorly, but I just kind of stepped back and take stock and go, this is good. And there's a danger, isn't there, in the business of all that we do, which is good stuff. It's not saying it's not good stuff, the business that we get involved in. Christmas is good. All the business of it is good. The stuff that we do as a church is good. The busyness of church is good if we're doing the stuff that we're called to do. But it's so easy to get caught up in it and not step back and not just take stock and just sit. And in the context of church, sit with God and hear His heart and hear His thoughts, hear what He's wanting to say. Because He longs to share this journey with us. In fact, there's no point in going on any journey as a church if we're not going with God. Now, that may sound like a really obvious thing to say. Of course, a Christian church should go places with God. But it doesn't always happen. Often churches, often Christian movements, they'll start with God. And then the thing grows. And then we kind of leave God behind sometimes if we're not careful. Because the thing that grows becomes the thing that we focus our attention on. And we don't want to be that sort of church. So right at the beginning of what I think is quite a significant new season for us as a church, in the decisions that we're making, I want to say we've got to be a church that is seeking Him and on our knees and hungry for Him and determined that if and when, God willing, He moves, and we see people come to faith and we see people's lives changed. We never lose the fact that we said right at the beginning, we want to go with him. We want to go together. We want to go with him. Now, that isn't something new for this church. That has always been the call on this church. This church has been, the history of this church is of a group of people who have stepped into the presence of God, who've known the power of God, and then have from that place gone where God has taken them. But as I said, as often happens, our gaze moves from him. And I just want to say, at this time, there are so many important things that we're talking about, so many things that we're thinking about and praying about. And I just am desperate myself personally and for us as a church to be known before anything else as a people who seek him fervently, who seek him and are hungry for him and know that if, you know, wouldn't it be great if and when he moves and if and when we are able to tell stories and we continue to be able to tell stories of lives changed, of families that come to playtime and of people who come to faith through faith to playtime, of people who come out of debt at CAP, of people who are being fed at the food bank. Wouldn't it be great if we weren't able to look back without saying, God did that? We don't want to be able to look back and say, we did that. We want to be able to go, God did that. And we don't want to go to this place where we see lots of things happen and not be able to look back and say, we wouldn't have been able to do that without God. That's what I hope we were able to say. So just to anchor some of the things that I'm talking about, because this is a little bit big picture what I'm talking about, the things that just to remind us that the big decisions that we're talking about as a church are around our buildings, selling some of our buildings so that we can invest in particularly the conference center, but in certain maybe other spaces as well, so we can be fit for purpose going forward. So there's big decisions about selling our buildings, how we sell them. We want to do that with integrity, and we're doing that with integrity. We want to do that. We believe that God is leading us into partnerships that are going to be fruitful going forward, and that is really important. But again, we need to do this with him. We need to lean in with him. There's big changes around our finances. As we sell buildings and as we become dependent upon the income that we get from leasing out the large amount of buildings that we have, obviously, if we're going to sell buildings, you can't renew leases. So then you have this interim period where you don't get the income that you'd get from leasing buildings. But we do believe this is where God is calling us to. So we've got these kind of juggling that we've got to do, this thinking, this praying into, God, would you provide? Would you show us how to be good stewards of what you've given us? And how do we as a church step into that? How do we own this journey together and be the answer to some of the giving that is needed to be able to enable us to go into this new season? And we'll be talking about more of that in the new year. And then there are big changes around leadership. We know that Giles has finished now at King's Centre, so we're going to be looking for what the leadership structure looks like for King's Centre. We'll be blessing, just so you know, next Sunday is a joint service. Giles will be here. We'll be blessing Giles and praying for him. He's already had a service at King's Centre, but it's important that we do that together as NCS. But there's big leadership changes in that sense, and it gives us the opportunity to think, how do you want us to go, God, as a leadership? What's the structure? What does it mean to be Network Church Sheffield? You know, we talk about it, but what does it mean to be Network Church Sheffield? What does it mean for us to be St. Thomas Philadelphia, King's Centre, Streetwise? What does it mean to us to be linked with Shire Green, St. James and St. Christopher's, where Zach has taken people? And they're going to be here with us next Sunday as well, which is great. We'll hear stories of what God is doing. But what does it mean for us to be Network Church Sheffield? This is significant timing for us as a church in terms of what is God calling us to be? Rather than just saying we're Network Church Sheffield, what does it mean? What is God calling us to be? And so this is why it's so important at this period in time. We are more than ever a people who commit to praying together. Now, there are faithful prayers in this church, and there are faithful groups of prayers who pray every month. I know that. So I hope people aren't hearing me not know that that happens. I know that happens. But, and I was really encouraged by the prayer meeting that we had not so long ago, where we all gathered around and we were talking about the buildings and praying into the buildings. And I really want to keep that momentum going. So if anything, if there's nothing else this new term, I'd love you to hear the call to go deeper in prayer, to gather together in prayer. Now you'll hear about how you can do that in groups, continue to do it in groups. There will be whole church gatherings of prayer, being able to pray together. But please prioritize that. It's about consecrating ourselves. Am I in for this? Am I someone who wants to follow Jesus and be used by Jesus? If that is true, consecrating ourselves again at the beginning of the year. Am I into this church and the vision of this church and what God is, where we think God is calling this church to be? If I am, what does that mean for me to be part of this church in the way that I pray with the rest of the church, in the way that I join with community with the rest of this church, in the way that I give, in the way that I serve? What does that mean? You know, it's just a question for all of us who are part of this church. What does it mean for us to be part of this journey? Remember our vision to go together, to go with Jesus. Our values, sorry, to go together and to go with Jesus. And to change lives, to make lives better. Okay, so that's a little bit of the practical thing. The phrase 2 Chronicles 20 comes from 2 Chronicles 20. Our eyes are on you. Brian, could you just put that one slide I put in, please? Thank you. Our eyes are on you. So I'd love us to be a people who seek God not as a last resort, but as our first response, and who go on the adventure together. You know this. You know that being a follower of Jesus isn't a solo effort. You have to do it with others more than ever. There is opposition to people who choose to follow Jesus, who choose to live a life that is reflecting of his kingdom and his kingdom values. In a world where, yes, there is lots of good and there's lots of evidence of God's kingdom in his world, but there's also lots of evidence of evil and not good stuff. And if you are someone who's going to stand up and shine a light into the darkness, you will expect opposition. That is just what the Bible says. In this world, you will have trouble. You know, and that is the truth. But you get to be a people, we get to be a people who bring light into dark places, who demonstrate something of the truth of God's kingdom in this world. In our great city of Sheffield, we can be a group of people who, along with all the other great churches in this city, shine a light into the dark places, who represent something of God's kingdom, where there is none of the poverty, none of the three poverties, the spiritual poverty, the relational poverty, and the physical poverty. I mean, we go after that as a church already, don't we? We feed people, we get people out of debt. We bring relationship for people where there is loneliness, and we lead people to Jesus. We give them opportunity to do that. We get to be those people, but we will have opposition. We have to go together. So this is a choice before you, at the beginning, before me, before you, at the beginning of this year. Are we gonna go together on this? Are we gonna choose to enter into this together? Our eyes are on you. I find myself kind of praying, God, because I hear stories of, I will finish in a minute, Jill. I'm sorry. I know I was only meant to be 7 minutes, but I kind of went off on one. I'm sorry. I hear stories, and maybe you've heard stories of the quiet revival that is going on. And there's some really wonderful stories. And if you look at the stats, you know, stats done by secular agencies of Gen Z particularly being much more open to spiritual things. Now, that's not saying that they're all coming to Christianity. They're open to all sorts of spiritual things, the whole smorgasbord of spiritual things. But there is an openness. And I go, great, God, that's so good that there is this opportunity. And, you know, there was a stat, I can't remember if you can remember it, Jill, it was the P. Greg talk at the 24/7 conference there's something like 1,500, I think I'm right in saying, young people going to be baptized in France this year, who have chosen to follow Jesus. And that was just one stat that came out of that. And you're hearing these little stats all over the place of the younger generation rejecting the atheism, the agnosticism of their parents, the cynicism of the previous generations, and going, no, that hasn't worked. We're anxious. We're living in a world that's full of anxiety. We need something more. And there's this openness, and I will post when I write in the next letter, I'll give you a little bit more context to these things I'm saying, and a little bit more facts, so that you know I'm telling the truth here. But the truth is, there is this openness, there is this desire for people to want. And I find myself praying to God, don't let us be a church that doesn't see that. You know, I celebrate the churches we're saying they're seeing people coming in and coming to faith. But let us be one of those churches. Let us be one of those churches that is so filled with the presence of God that people want to come here. Those people who are open and are seeking, they want to hear about you. They want to have their lives transformed. And I hope that you would share that prayer with me. Lord, don't pass us by. Lead us, provide, strengthen us, move among us. And that's why we're calling the January series The One Thing. It's something that Jill felt in her spirit that this is something we should be doing, and I totally agree with her on it. And I just really want to encourage you to enter into it as much as possible. Small group community leaders, I've sent you notes about the series. It's a short series just for January. I've sent you notes about it. Please do use those in your small groups to reflect further on some of the topics that we're going to be talking about. I should stop now, but I hope that's giving you a little bit of a framework of where my heart is, and I'm just going to hand over to Jill.